see the fun. I see the fun. The Diary of Jack Kirkman Podcast.
Yeah. Fog hat people. Slow ride. Take it easy. Slow ride. Take it easy. Slow ride. Why am I singing this? You'll see. Take it easy.
I'm in the mood. The rhythm is right.
Hello, everybody. That's a fun song to drive to, huh? Just get in the car. You don't even have to have anywhere to go. No, I'm not advocating gas guzzling. But once in a while, get in that car. And just drive with the windows down, with your friends or alone. You have the freedom to go anywhere you want, within reason. You can't, like, drive into the ocean. You could, but you wouldn't survive it. Oh, but some people cannot do that. Because women in Saudi Arabia are basically banned from driving. That's our ally. I saw President Bush holding hands with Poochie Coochie, the leader over there, years ago. And Obama seems friends with those guys. Oh, they're our ally. Well, it's for the oil. Yeah, no shit. I'm getting to that. Every time I complain about Saudi Arabia and their policies towards women, someone reminds me, well, they're our ally because we need the oil. Now, I know that person is not saying, hey, and that's a great idea. I know that person is just informing me why. But my next, then that usually shuts down the conversation because I go, okay, I know that. You know that. Now, can we go beyond that and talk like, see, we don't have to talk like politicians. We can talk like humans with feelings, emotions, spiritual ideologies and say, well, that's bullshit. What a terrible, embarrassing thing for us to be so allied with people because we're so dependent on foreign oil when there's literally solutions to not needing it. And these are the people that bombed us on 9/11. We're not going to get political. We're just going to get righteous. Because there's right and wrong, and it's not political. No gender should be banned from driving. No gender should be treated unequally. And yet, every time we go to war, we get manipulated. To free the women in Afghanistan. Well, then why don't you free the women everywhere? Why don't you invade every country? Oh, well, we can't do that. Of course you can't. You have your reasons for where you go, and you have your reasons for where you don't go. And we all know it. But let's at least talk amongst ourselves like badasses. Let's not talk like politicians. Well, this is why they do it. Don't repeat them. You're not a parrot. Even a parrot goes off the rails every once in a while and goes, fuck you. I don't know if that's true. I just made that up. I have to assume one parrot somewhere just randomly freaked its owners out and was like, fuck you. And they're like, well, maybe I did say fuck you once and 2 months ago or something, and they picked up on it. But secretly, they know the parrot is starting to think for itself. And once it says fuck you, who knows what's next? He'll peck your eyes out. Well, you can't get out of the cage. Oh, yeah? Maybe you can. I don't have a solution in this scenario. So this is, and I know the story is a month old, but I'm bringing it up for a reason because there's new news. But a conservative Saudi Arabian cleric has said that women who drive risk damaging their ovaries and bearing children. So this was his actual quote. If a woman drives a car, not out of pure necessity, that could have negative physiological impacts, as functional and physiological medical studies show that it automatically affects the ovaries and pushes the pelvis upwards. This is why we find those who regularly drive have children with clinical problems of varying degrees. He did not cite specific medical studies to support his arguments. I mean, that just... We all know how corrupt things are and how people get in power. But really, just forget all that. Just think to yourself, someone is in power in our, like, very modern societies, as Saudi Arabia is an extremely modern society in most other ways. He doesn't have to cite medical studies. Like, a leader can lead somewhere and make up some bullshit statistic to keep half of the population oppressed and doesn't have to cite the medical study. Well, of course, there isn't one, but they don't, you know, there's just no shame. Just like, I'll say whatever. Negative. I mean, what if people actually believe that? So then a bunch of women on October 26th decided to do a protest drive. And I didn't see a lot of news about it here, but that's because no one cares. But in an interview published last Friday, he said that the women who are aiming to overturn this ban should, quote, put reason ahead of their hearts, emotions, and passions. First of all, who is the emotional one here? A man who is terrified for some reason that driving will hurt a woman's ovaries. First of all, I know he doesn't really think that, but let's just say he does for the sake of argument. That is an emotional belief. That is a living in fear. Because she can sit in a car, right? So why can't she drive? What happens with the steering wheel? Does he know that the steering wheel does not touch your ovaries? They should not put reason ahead of their hearts, emotions, and passions. I think they're using all four, actually. And secondly, I love when people accuse other people of not using reason. Those are the people that are using their emotions. I mean, imagine being so afraid collectively as a culture of women that you have to stop them from doing things that might give them freedom enough to overthrow what you've set up. That's not emotional. That's a bully. That's a child. I know I'm really taking politics and breaking it down to childish peanut butter and jelly terms, but this is not a political show. I'm outraged. So, you know, we all agree with this, right? This is a ridiculous thing. John Kerry, who took a stand in Washington against the Vietnam War after he was in it, as a, you know, before he was even that powerful in politics, is taking a softer stance on this than Hillary Clinton did, our former Secretary of State. So we're going backwards, you see. So he went to Saudi Arabia this past Monday on a kind of a peace brokering trip about this whole thing because of all the growing protests by Saudi women who are demanding the right to drive. I mean, and this is the thing, you got to keep your cool. But this type of stuff makes me so angry that I want to go to Saudi Arabia in a tank and plow down a bunch of dudes and go, oops, I guess women can't drive. I mean, just roll over their dumb heads and listen to them crack. But I can't do that. But that's okay. I can talk about it. As long as I don't live violently, it's okay. But man, it feels good to fantasize about just rolling through Saudi Arabia, right? My dad used to drive an Oldsmobile Cutlass in the 80s. I'll just roll through Saudi Arabia with my tape deck going. Just every time I see a guy, just plucking him off. Maybe not killing him. Just hit him in the knees a little bit. Oops, sorry. Woo! Ovaries going crazy up in here. Come on, ladies, get in. Just get a bunch of ladies in the car. We're just screaming out the window at everyone. It is 2013 and women can't drive in a country that we are strongly allied with. So strongly that this is what John Kerry said. It's no secret that in the United States, we embrace equality for everybody, regardless of gender, blah, blah, blah. But it's up to Saudi Arabia to make its own decisions about its social structure. I think that debate is best left to Saudi Arabia. Oh, you do? Okay, John Kerry, well, how about when they come for you? What will you think then? Hillary Clinton, at the time, said, I am moved by it and I support them. We've raised this issue at the highest level of the Saudi government. But then John Kerry comes over and he's like, oh, it's okay. Whatever you guys want to do, you do your thing and I'll do my thing. You fucking pussy. I mean, and then these people have the fucking nerve. And I don't mean to say these people. I'm just talking about John Kerry and whoever else supports it. Have the nerve to stand there, you know, celebrating Martin Luther King Day. When Martin Luther King was the one that said, to love your neighbor is to love yourself. Nobody is free until we are all free. That doesn't mean that we should sit around and wait for oppressive regimes to decide when they're going to give freedom to groups they oppress. I mean, we don't know. I'm not saying bomb them. I'm not saying do anything like that. But you can't at least use words and say, we condemn this. This is not what we want. We stand by the Saudi Arabian women. Because what if, honestly, the Saudi Arabian women, like, the uprising was violent and they needed help? Do we not go in at that point? We go in everywhere else. We don't say, oh, these chemical warfare attacks, let's let them settle it. We never do that. But this time, yeah, let's just let them work it out. Because, you know, it's not just so innocent over there. It's not just like, you cannot drive. I mean, there's crazy shit going on over there. Women still get stoned. Karl Marx said, the oppressed are allowed once every few years to decide which particular representatives of the oppressing class are to represent and repress them. Robert F. Kennedy said, few will have the greatness to bend history itself, but each of us can work to change a small portion of events. It's from numberless diverse acts of courage and belief that human history is shaped. Each time a man stands up for an ideal or acts to improve the lot of others or strikes out against injustice, he sends forth a tiny ripple of hope and crossing each other from a million different centers of energy and daring those ripples build a current which can sweep down the mightiest walls of oppression and resistance. Does that sound like John Kerry to you? Standing up for an ideal. Oh, hey, whatever they want to do is good. Oh, great. I'd love to walk down the street with you in a dark alley at night. Oh, if they want to, you know, mug you, that's their thing. I don't believe in it myself, but, you know, Thomas Jefferson, rebellion to tyranny is obedience to God. Ah, what can I do for my bed? Nothing. Sick of me yet? I don't, is this like a political podcast now? Like, the way I see it, just everyone's equal. So technically more women hate men. That's actually a thing now, men's rights. Okay, I told you both to not bother me when I'm doing this podcast. I know, but I'm just saying, like, I didn't even, if I just think people are equal, they're equal. I kind of feel the same way. Well, go then. Had a fun summer romance. The summer turned to fall. And I said, okay, if we're going to, you know, keep hanging, let's get deeper. Let's talk. I didn't really say that, but I mean, that's kind of where my mind was going. You know, I don't commit to anybody unless I feel a kinship. And even then, I don't really know if I believe in commitment anymore, but that's a longer conversation. That is not for here. But this guy I was seeing, I said something about, you know, some kind of women oppression thing. And he was like, oh, I just think everyone's equal. I was like, well, that's a lovely sentiment from a young white guy, but it's not really true. And he was like, oh, I love how passionate you are about things, which is so condescending. And I was just so turned off. I don't know if that's a difference between, I'm not even going to say men and women. I'm just going to say me and perhaps other people, that I was just like, okay, I'm done. I don't care if you got an electric toothbrush and put it down my pants. I'm not stimulated by you anymore. I can't hang with the dumb. You know, you got to have a little rage about stuff. You got to have a little, you know. Then again, one time I dated a guy like 10 years ago who was out on the streets protesting the Iraq war. And I was like, would you just come inside? Can we just watch a movie? I'm not that into it either. You know, I don't think we should have gone in and found weapons of mass destruction that weren't there. But can you get off the street? Because you're just doing it. Like, I understand the point of protesting. I totally get it. It gets picked up by the news. It sends a message to other nations, what the people of a certain nation feel as opposed to maybe their government. You know, everybody can get, I think it's great. I love that in this day and age, no matter what side we're talking about, that people do get out and hold signs and protest peacefully. I think it's great. But I honestly, at the time, I was like, it's cool. I'm glad we agree on, you know, peace and love. But how long are you going to stand out there? So see, it's hard to make me happy. I think it's just as long as you seem like you care about something, I can hang with it. But I honestly can hang with so few that I'm just very rarely impressed with anyone. How's that story? And this guy was like, well, maybe you can educate me about this stuff. I was like, now I have to be a tutor? I don't think so. We're going to go to dinner and I'm going to be like, okay, turn to page 6. So, Susan B. Anthony, like, no, just don't say dumb shit like, I think everyone's equal. But I do. No, I know you do. And that's wonderful. I'm glad you find this insane. But if you didn't know what was going on, I mean, what are you thinking about all day? I like Halloween a lot. That's actually what this guy said to me. You don't even care about things I care about. Did you know Halloween is my favorite holiday? I was like, whew, okay. This is why I don't enjoy having relationships. Because you either have to put up with that shit or you're going to break up with that shit. And if you put up with it, your heart hurts a little. And if you break up with it, then that person acts like a lunatic. So... That's that. Oh my God, I'm sorry. I am not sad. I don't talk about things until they're way processed. I am fine. Okay, so we got that out of the way. Everybody, I am leaving for New York. By the time you're listening to this, perhaps, I'll be arriving in New York Thursday morning. God willing. Creepy, weird. If anything happens, this is on tape. We'll be in Brooklyn Thursday, November 7th, to record my first ever live podcast, the I Seem Fun Diary of Jen Kirkman podcast, the thing you are listening to. I will be doing live in Brooklyn. I hope you can come if you're in New York. It's at the Bell House. It's a great space. I'd love to sell out. I don't think I'm going to sell out, because there's a lot going on this week. I'm not telling you what the other stuff is. You're not going to that. Don't worry about it. But I will have an actual bed on stage. I'll be in my pajamas, and it's going to be fun. JenKirkman.com, under tour dates, you can click the link. You can buy tickets. I'm adding another live podcast taping as part of the San Francisco Sketch Fest on February 8th, Saturday, February 8th, at the Brava Theater in San Francisco. I don't think tickets are on sale yet, but get that in your head. I will be recording another live podcast. Yes, there will be a bed on stage. I will be in pajamas. And I was mad at San Francisco for a while. You guys were a pain in my ass on my book tour. I did 5 shows at the Punchline. And although it was pretty full every night, it was pulling teeth to get you people to come. And mostly what I got from my fans, I guess is the word, who live in San Francisco, who follow me on the website, Twitter, and Facebook, they would say, oh, there's some sports playoffs and I got drunk today. I'm not coming tonight. Come back soon. I'm like, no, I'm here now, you assholes. Maybe that's why my fans don't make an effort to come see me, because I call them assholes. Unlike Lady, you know, I should be like Lady Gaga, where I pander to everybody and pretend I care about mental illness. I'm not saying she doesn't. But you know what I mean. It's kind of her thing. We're all bullied and misunderstood. And actually, that's a great message, even if it's a pretend message that she's just using to pander to teenagers. Where are my teenagers? Are there any teenagers that listen to this? Will you let me know? Because if I was a teenager, I think I would listen to this. But I don't know what teenagers like nowadays. But I would love to picture someone hiding under their covers listening to this. And if their parents found out, they'd be mad. Are you out there? Let me know. What is happening? Okay. Hope everyone had a nice Halloween. I stayed in because that's what an I seem funner like me does. Well, it was a Wednesday night. I mean, I'd had a long day at work. Was it a Wednesday? I don't remember what day of the week it was. Thursday? I don't know. I stayed in. I bought a cinnamon broomstick at Trader Joe's. This sounds so pathetic. And then I made hot apple cider. And I watched The Great Pumpkin Charlie Brown. Which always bums me out. Because all the boys are bald at age 10. Not that there's anything wrong with being bald. But I imagine when you're 10, it's its own set of difficulties. So I did that. And I enjoyed myself. And now I live in the kind of building where my apartment is not a door that faces the street. So I could not have kids come to the door. And actually, for someone who does not want children, who isn't particularly like that into kids, I do love Halloween when people ring the bell. I even give love to the teenagers that come without a costume. Because I feel bad for those people. Can you imagine feeling so self-conscious that you can't... I'm cheating right now. I'm in my kitchen. Listen, I'm multitasking. I have to pack for my trip. And I want to throw out some trash. I want to do it so I don't forget. I was in bed earlier. I'll pat it down again. But can you imagine being a teenager who's so... just afraid of taking a chance that you don't wear a costume on Halloween and you just knock on someone's door like, give me candy. I mean, that's what being a teenager is for, is wearing costumes. It's certainly not for grown-ups unless you are a parent. That is the one time I will say, you know, I usually don't like special privileges for parents like, oh, you just had a baby, you can leave work early. I mean, you should leave work early if you had a baby. But am I ever going to have anything that's important enough to have me leave work early? Or am I going to look like a diva if I want to go, you know, to acupuncture? So, but the one thing that I think parents should exclusively be allowed to do is dress up on Halloween. Now, I'm not talking about Halloween parties, where as a grown-up you might go to a party on, say, October 26th and, you know, wear a costume and look sexy for your husband, wife, spouse, friend, whoever. That's fine. But a grown-up without children who's walking around in a costume, I don't like it. It's weird that you're for individuality and freedom, but then you have all these rules of like really dumb things people shouldn't do. Anyway, that was my Halloween. Great story, Jen. Will there be more like this ever? Yes, there will. I always think about, you know what I did on Halloween? This was my whole point. I'm sorry. Halloween, like, night, you know, it was getting dark about 6 o'clock before the night set in. Now, I'm a weird person. I put up my Christmas tree the Sunday before Thanksgiving. What? It's a fake tree. But I love how my place looks decorated at Christmas so much. And I have tasteful Christmas decorations, okay? Not too heavy on the reds and greens. Then we get to tacky. I'm talking blues, silvers, a sprinkling of gold here and there, and some white. Got candles. It's a whole scene for me. I love it. I don't know why with Christmas decorations, like, imagine if you walked into someone's bedroom and they had like a Christmas wreath in there. That'd be weird, right? It's like totally looks normal in your living room, portions of a dining room, a kitchen. But if you brought Christmas decorations into a bedroom, it just starts getting weird. Like, I feel like bedrooms and bathrooms, except for maybe a candle or some decorative soap, maybe just the bedroom is like a calendar free zone. It's like Vegas. There's no clocks on the walls. You don't know where you are. It's dark. I mean, not my bedroom has lights. I turn them. I don't just like stumble into bed and guess where it is and stub my toe. But there's just something unnerving about the scent of pine in a bedroom or something with a Santa or a snowman on it. I think that's what it is. I think when you bring like maybe a little snowman candle, or if you had like a Santa wall decoration and you put that in a bedroom, that's going to come to life at night. That is asking for some magical shit. Like if you have a cute little, like let's say someone bought you a cute little stuffed reindeer animal and has a cartoonish face. You're like, all right, I'll throw it in my box of Christmas decorations. And, you know, during the holiday season, I'll put that on my leather chair in the living room. Now put that in the leather chair in your bedroom. Wake up at 3 a.m. with insomnia. The glow of your clock radio or iPhone or nightlight from the bathroom streams in just right on the eyes of that innocent reindeer. But now that it's in your bedroom, it's like, well, hey, excuse me. This is my private area. You put me here. Well, now I'm freaked out. Well, if you come over to the chair and move me, I'll bite you. And then I'll jump and start wrapping myself around your neck. Okay, well, I'm going to leave you there. But I'm not going to act like this conversation we just had didn't just freak me out. So now I will try to go back to sleep. But you'll be staring at me all night? You bet I will. Well, what if I move you in the morning? Will you try to kill me then? Nope, not when the sun's out. So if I move you in the morning and put you back on the chair in the living room, what will happen when I go back to bed that night? Oh, you'll feel something and you'll wake up and turn the light on and you'll see me just standing in the doorway in your bedroom looking at you. And then what? Then I'll keep looking at you as I decide whether I should just crawl into bed with you and start wrapping myself around your neck. Well, maybe I should get rid of you altogether, because it seems like we have this contract where if I keep you in the chair in my bedroom, you won't strangle me. But if I don't, you will. But that's an odd thing. I would never invite someone into my home and who says, I'm going to sit in this chair. If you try to change that, I'll kill you. But otherwise, we cool. So now you have this stuffed animal staring at you that you put there. You gave it all this power by inviting it into your bedroom. And now you don't know what to do. Because you know it doesn't end if you throw it away. It's just going to come back and find you. Until even though you're on the fourth floor, it's knock, knock, knocking on your window in March for no reason. So you have to burn it and destroy it completely and then throw the ashes in the ocean and then hope to God there's no such thing as reincarnation of stuffed animals. So that's a holiday tip. Just make sure that you don't keep stuffed animals in your bedroom during the holidays. It's creepy. Anyway, my point is I like to get ready for Halloween early. I mean Christmas. Because usually I'm away during the holidays and I don't even get to enjoy my own home. So I like to do it like, I like to have it up as many weeks as possible. Hang on. That was unbecoming. So, and this year I'm going away on Thanksgiving. And I don't want to put all that stuff up when I get back. So I figured I'll do it the weekend before. Drunk History was picked up for a second season. I said I would never do it again. I've done three of them. This is also the ego in me. When people go, I loved your Drunk History. Which one? I did three. Been doing them since the beginning of the beginning. Sorry, I used my inhaler before, and it's kicking up some shit. You wouldn't know that I'm actually a cute girl with two visible abs who has sort of a fun, sometimes sexy life. With this clearing my throat, I have a cinnamon broomstick from Trader Joe's, and I'm using my inhaler. I mean, what? I am two people. Anyway, so I'm doing another Drunk History. I said I would never do it, but then I got competitive. And I was like, well, I want to be part of this one too. So when they asked me, I said yes. But I am taping that the weekend before Thanksgiving. So Sunday, I will be severely hungover, unable to do anything except kind of wander around my apartment. So I figured that'd be a good day to put up my decorations, if I could even stand up straight. So my point is, I don't want to spend any time shopping. I just want the stuff here already. And I was getting in the mood on Halloween because I was like, this is it. Once Halloween comes, it's like the start of the holiday season. It's going to be Thanksgiving, it's going to be Christmas. I thought, well, we got out of work early. Thank you, the people who do have children, because that's why we got out of work early on Halloween. And I went to Pier 1. They are not paying me to say this. I just went in. And I bought some new Christmas decorations. Because I knew that at 6 p.m., nobody else would be in Pier 1. It would be the beginning of the holiday stock, and I would not miss out on anything. I went in there. And the salespeople were following me around. You sure you don't want to open a credit card? No. You'll get a discount. I know it doesn't matter. These prices are reasonable anyway. I don't want to start a credit card. Why? So they follow me around, talking to them. It puts me in a good mood to buy Christmas decorations. So I was more talkative than usual. I was actually engaging in small talk. Oh, I'm in bed. Hear it? I was actually engaging in the small talk. Yeah, I'm from the East Coast. I might go back this year. I don't know. Crazy driving in the snow. What do you do? Bing, bong, boom. And they were kind of looking at me like, well, what are you doing for Halloween tonight? And I was like, nothing. I'm already past Halloween. I'm thinking of Christmas. And they're like, oh, well, that's cool. And I could tell they felt bad for me, but I'm like, well, you're working. No, we're not all doing traditional Halloween things right now, but I guess it's more socially acceptable to be at work. So it's like, oh, I have to. I don't have to spend Halloween by myself shopping for Christmas candles, but that's how I wanted to do. Sure, when Tim Burton does it, makes Nightmare Before Christmas, y'all think that's great, but I'm the crazy lady at Pier 1. Then I left, carried my stuff up, put it in the closet. Part of me was like, maybe I can put one thing out. Maybe just one thing. So I have a candle that's kind of like pine cone scented. I put that on my table. That's okay. Pine cone is a fall accessory. It is not Christmas specific. So if you happen to stumble in here, don't be like, what crazy person has mismatched decorations up that don't correspond to the calendar. Pine cones are seasonal. September through January, you can pine cone it. All right? That's my rule. Shout out to my dead cat, Mittens. Halloween always reminds me of him. He died when I was 12. I do not have a cat. I have not had a cat since. I have no interest in having a cat. But I loved Mittens. He was my good friend. He was 18 when he died. So I had mostly known him as an old cat that let me put dresses on him. And I was very sad. He had to be put to sleep. All I remember from it is that I think I was 12 and my dad stayed home with me and we were watching Taxi. What do you mean watching a taxi? No, it was a TV show called Taxi. You had TV back then? Yes, we had TV. I don't know the show. Oh, it's about a bunch of cab drivers. Like Uber? No, like cabs, like you hail a cab. And what did they do? They worked in a cab. I mean, one of them was really a boxer, one of them was really an actor, one of them was really an art gallery owner, and it was just about their lives. It sounds sad. Well, no, it wasn't sad. I mean, actually, it had a lot of heart and was poignant, but it was wet-yant. It floated. No, that's buoyant. It was poignant. Oh. It was like a reality show? No, it was... forget it. I told you to leave. Fuck the haters! So, my dad and I were watching Taxi, and my mom was taking Mittens in his cat carrier, and I can just hear him. Aah! And my mom crying, it's okay, Mitty. And I didn't say bye to him because I couldn't. And I'm glad I didn't. Because Mittens wouldn't have known if I was saying goodbye to him. I mean, maybe if I was in the room with him. Yeah. But you don't want to say goodbye to a cat as they're being poured into a cat carrier. It makes them anxious. They know they're going somewhere that you're not. I feel bad for my mom who had to go by herself. Oh, there's nothing worse than a pet dying. I guess a person dying is worse, but at least a person like kind of knows that it's happening, or, you know, we all know it's going to happen. Ugh. But then my mom came home and told me he was buried in a cemetery. But we never went to visit it. And literally, I know everyone has this story and it's a cliche at this point. We sent him to a farm and we could run around. I had the other cliche, which was like, no, he's buried in the cemetery with a little placard that says Mittens. I'm like, well, I'd love to go visit it. I even asked her when I was in college, like, you know what? I want to take a road trip to Mittens' grave. You said it was in some like farm town or something. Where is it? She's like, oh, Jen, they threw him in an incinerator. There's no gravestone. I go, oh, why'd you say that? You were 12. I guess that was the right thing to do. Speaking of my mom, she sent me an email today. I will read it to you now in her voice. Subject heading, funny podcasts. Hi, Jen. Your podcasts just crack me up. They really are so entertaining that it seems they should be something more. I don't know what. Have a great time in Brooklyn. I know they will love you. I will be at Liza Minnelli on Friday. I may or may not go to see Kathy Griffin on Saturday, but I'm really going to try to see Eddie Pepitone on Saturday at Comics. Cher was the guest judge and performer on Dancing with the Stars. I thought of you and her. What a crazy incident that was when you met her. Lucky you to meet so many famous legends. Betty White as well. Love and hugs, Mom. See, my mom likes my podcast, you fucks. I know you listening like it, but someone there is listening going, I'm not going to listen anymore. I don't even check my iTunes reviews, so go ahead, write something awful. I'll never see it. My 74-year-old mom, who probably doesn't like to hear me talking about some adult-themed stuff, listens to a podcast. And what are you doing? Well, you're listening to it too, but, you know, let's talk to the other people that don't like it. Go screw. I like that my mom is sad that the podcast should be something more. I mean, obviously, this stuff could be turned into material for my act, for my next book. That's all I'll say about that. So far, a script for, you know, a TV show. It could be anything. And it will be. But this is my favorite thing to do every week is sit here for an hour and talk to myself. Because I'm getting to know you guys more and more. and you're writing me, and I'm picturing some of you who are like, I'm on a business trip. I'm in my hotel. I'm sitting at work, cracking up. I'm falling asleep somewhere in India. I love it. Hello, hello, hello. I really do just think of people listening, and I'm so grateful when I do this. I think it's the coolest thing. I am a huge podcast listener. They like are the soundtrack to my life. I walk around. I have them on all the time. I love listening to talking. So you obviously do too. And I so very much appreciate that you listen. I think it's just the fucking coolest thing. My mom reminded me of my story about having a private meeting with Cher, which I did 3 years ago. I told it on Julie Klausner's podcast about 3 years ago, but I realized that there may not be crossover and you may not have heard it. And I think I'll tell that story again on an upcoming episode because it's pretty funny. I like that my mom writes, lucky you to meet so many famous legends. Betty White as well. Why is she not included in the legends that I have met? Oh, I don't know. Hey, if you're in Connecticut, go see my friend Eddie Pepitone at Comics at Foxwoods. He's so funny, and he's like beyond funny. He's just a genius, and he's life-affirming too. So it's a really fun he's someone you want to see. He breaks the mold of comedy. He's I think he's funnier and more brilliant than Bill Hicks. That's what I think. So that was my point. Okay, the cat. My extensions are out. I don't know why this is so weird to me. I had them in for a year so that I could grow my hair out, and my hair is now long enough to be considered kind of long hair. I'm still growing it, but I took them out because they weigh on your hair and they kind of pull it out. And I kind of missed like getting my head massaged if I went to get a massage. I just went to get a massage tonight. I got a four-hander. This is like the 1% hour again. I'm so sick of hearing about her luxurious life. There's a massage place that it's not on the menu, but if you ask for it, you get the four-hand massage. That means two people working on you at once. So it's technically, you know when they do that, like they'll work on you if you get an hour massage. They'll work on your back for like 40 minutes and then they flip you over and you know it's the beginning of the end. But imagine like a full like 45 minutes concentrated on your back because someone else is just doing your legs. Oh, it's the greatest. But now without my extensions in, I can actually get a head massage. And I love a head massage. If you're a masseur or a masseuse listening to this, I don't care where you studied or what your personal beliefs are. Fuck yourself if you don't end a massage with a head massage. If you go head and then go to their feet and end it that way, you're a bad person. End it with the head. And then leave the room quietly. Do not rub my head and then waste 5 more minutes on my ankle. I don't care about my ankle. Go back to the head. End there. In fact, just do a head massage for 1 hour. I guess that would be weird if you actually were like, I've got this knot in my back. Okay, well, I listened to this podcast and I was told to fuck myself if I don't massage your head for an hour. So I'm so sorry. Anyway, my extensions are out. I feel a little self-conscious. It's very odd that I'm sitting here concerned about the women in Saudi Arabia, but really also concerned that I don't feel very feminine without my hair extremely long. And I don't feel as special, I guess. So I dyed my hair almost black because at least it's kind of striking. But now I'm like, it's too dark. That I've got a weird relationship with my hair where for some reason I feel like it can change my looks. I guess it can change all of our looks. I guess we all have that weird relationship with our hair. But it is unbelievable to me that I can be so vain. To the point where I'm like, I don't like my hair today. I feel ugly. I mean, that's dumb. That's a stupid, stupid, stupid thing to think. But I'm enjoying walking around the world without my extensions in. So say hi if you see me. I don't know what that means. Okay. I'm going to end with an I Seem Fun email that I got. I haven't read these in a while, and I apologize. I haven't even checked some of these. Someone's giving me advice. Fever bone aches equals white blood cells growing. Jen, I think the bone aches when you're sick are from the bone marrow inside your bones is actually making the white blood cells that are fighting off the virus. Even if it's wrong, it's a positive visualization. Yes, I know about this stuff. I do it. I actually do that. But thank you. I got this well after I was better. Because again, I taped the podcast 2 days before you heard it. And I was already better when I taped it. So again, you see how futile advice is, right? Daily, glad you're healthy. Daily nasal netties are my secret for avoiding colds. Yep, I do those too. Why am I such a bitch? Someone's just trying to share with me. And I'm like, yeah, no, I know. Okay, so here is a I Seem Fun. This is from Tim. Airport bathrooms. Stick with me. Airport bathrooms should be the worst places ever, but you can actually count on them to be pretty advanced. One thing, though, here's why airport bathrooms rule. No doors. You walk in, you walk out, no touching. Two, urinals with auto flush. These are pretty standard in most public situations, but still great stuff because no touchies. Three, airport bathrooms. More often than not, you can count on motion sensitive faucets and soap pumps. Sweet. I'm almost done and still no touchies. Four, the piece de resistance, Dyson Airblade the tops. For a dude who only has to pee, I can walk in, do what I need to do and walk out with full no touchies. What's better than that? Tim, I agree. First of all, the Dyson Airblade is my favorite thing on earth. And if I am standing there in the airport bathroom, which I do a few times a month using it, step the fuck off and let me finish. Don't crowd all up in my business. Pretend it's an ATM. Stand far away. I will use that until it turns off. Even if my hands are already dry, I want to scorch them. This is where I disagree with Tim. I mean, obviously, I don't want to be a corrector. Yes, if the soap pumps are actually working, if the automatic faucets are actually working, and if the automatic toilets are actually working as they should. Because a lady has to sit down and pee. When you're sitting down and you're moving, you know, you have to put your suitcase in the stall. I put it outside of the stall once, and some security person was like, this counts as a missing bag. I'm going to report it. I'm like, oh, for Christ's sake. Opening the door, pulling the suitcase in. Or you're putting your purse up on the hook, or you're taking your coat off. You're sitting down. Maybe you take some of that tissue off and put it on the toilet seat. You sit on that. Well, by this point, you have moved so much. The toilet is just like, whoa, it's just wildly flushing. Sometimes you sit down on it and it starts flushing. And now you are getting sprayed like a dirty reverse bidet that's just spraying like water from the toilet in your butt as it swirls around and collects like leftover pee from underneath the seat. So now that's just spraying all over you. That's what ladies have to put up with. And ladies in Saudi Arabia can't even drive themselves to the airport to have that happen. So then as a lady, we have women in the bathroom. We have to deal with other women who are in the bathroom doing their hair, doing their makeup, which I appreciate. I think you should be in full makeup on a flight. I don't have to look at your freshly scrubbed face. Throw on some foundation. Look nice. That goes for men too. I want everyone looking good on a plane. But you got women set up there like, you know, like they're at a cosmetics counter. And you're like, oh, excuse me, can I just... And they just stare at you like, ugh, like you can't use the faucet for what it's for. Then in the women's room, we've got baby changing tables. So now it sometimes just smells like baby poop. You thought human poop smelled bad. Baby poop, oh, babies are human, but adult poop. I mean, it smells like if someone put broccoli and rotten eggs in a blender and added steaming heat and then put that under a bed for 10 weeks and then took that out and put in a microwave. That's what baby poop smells like. And for some reason, it's not just a smell that you observe. It goes right up your nose. Like the smell comes off the poop, finds a nostril, and goes and lives in it. So even an hour later, you're just like, you'll take a deep breath and be like, ah, baby poop, still in my nostrils. So I disagree with Tim on that. The other thing is, and maybe someone can help me with this, or maybe you can't. Stop taking your sons into the ladies' room. If you're a woman and you have a little boy, go to the fucking men's room to take him to pee. He's a man. Or he's a boy. If it's the type of men's room that has a stall, that's where you'll go. Because you're a grown woman. You can see men peeing. No one's really looking at their penises. And it's okay if a little boy sees a penis because he has one. And maybe you could teach him. You could walk in and say, when you're grown up, you can stand and pee at this special apparatus, but you're not tall enough yet. Let's go into the bathroom stall. Then you can be there with him. And it's okay, lady, if you have to pee too, the cops aren't going to come and go, no, twats on this seat. Because I don't like little boys in the bathroom staring at me. Sometimes they're too old to be in there. They're 10. They've already looked at porn. But you're taking them in the bathroom because you want to be polite and not go into men's room. Why is it impolite for a woman to walk into a men's room? Men would be so happy to see you. Men like to see ladies walking around. No guy is like, oh, get the woman out of here. They're not putting on their makeup. They're peeing and getting the fuck out, or they're pooping. But if they're pooping, they can't see you. They're hiding in the stall. If you take your little son in there, do not take him in the women's room. It bothers me. Especially if I'm sitting there peeing while the toilet is flushing and your son sticks his head out under, and it terrifies me. Sticks his head under the stall into mine. That has happened to me. So now your son has seen a vagina from an upside down angle with pee coming out of it. You think that's good for him? You want to explain to him what he just saw? Or would you rather show him someone with the same genitalia as him if he should happen to accidentally see a penis? So Tim, we disagree on that, but I saw a sign in an airport bathroom in the South or the Midwest that said, this is where you can come for shelter for tornadoes. Dear God. Tornadoes are tough enough stuff to live through without going, and now we have to go to the airport bathroom to survive this motherfucker. All right. I got to keep this one a little shorter because I got to get ready to go to New York. Anyway, I love you guys. If you want to write to me, you can write to iseemfun@gmail.com. Tell me things that you think are fun and great that other people don't, or vice versa. Subscribe on iTunes. If you want to write a review, give it 5 stars and then write your favorite quote from the episode you listened to. I think it helps with something. I forget what, but I don't read them. So that's why I just say put some random quote, because it's funny for like other people reading it, because they'll be like, what does this mean? But I think podcasts that have a lot of 5 stars, it does something. I always say, I don't know what. I should just find out, but I don't want to. Don't feel like it. Technically what it does, shut up. I think that's it. Join my email list. Go to jenkirkman.com. There's a link right there. Los Angeles, I have a special Jen Kirkman and Friends fun holiday show at the Hollywood Improv December 7th, Saturday night at 10 p.m. Myself, Eddie Pepitone, Morgan Murphy will be on the show. It's going to be really silly and just like a total fucking around night. I'm selling books after and signing, so please come to that. That's December 7th, Saturday night, the Hollywood Improv. The links are on my website under tour dates. Skip your dumb holiday party and come to that, because it's just going to be silliness. And it's full of, you know, disenfranchised comics. It's not a real holiday show in the sense of, it's not Donnie and Marie. All right. I love you all. I'll see you in New York, I hope, right? Until next time, have fun.